I'm excited to share today, and the word I've got today is, I'll just say it's pretty straightforward. So I'm really grateful for what the Lord's brought in it. It's really encouraged me. It's really challenged me, and I think it's going to do the same here. I think that it's going to leave that feeling, and what I've been asking him for is that feeling of like excitement and conviction at the same time, right? And so that's my hope, and that it's communicated well, because this is one that's been a conversation that gets thrown all over the place. And we've been speaking out of James chapter 2 is where I spoke a couple weeks ago, and we're going to continue in that, talking about this section about faith and deeds, okay? Faith and deeds. So if you have your Bible, open up to James chapter 2. Today I'm going to be sharing out of the NIV for everything I share today. Normally I share out of the New Living Translation, but today's going to be out of the NIV, just because it keeps it really straightforward to some of the terminology that I'm using. So James chapter 2, starting at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. All right, so there's a conversation here. There's always this faith and works conversation that's like, seems like whether you're talking about salvation or you're talking about your day-to-day Christian life, there's always this conversation about faith and works. And so James is writing this to bring clarity, and there's a few things I want to point out getting into the context of this. When it says, I mean, the first two questions are pretty straightforward. They're like, you know, what is it? What is your faith without deeds? Like, what good is it? Can such faith save you? All right, that word for save, it's translated the majority of times exactly what you would think, like salvation, to rescue, stuff like that, to deliver, all right? But you know how else it's used? Is to heal, to make whole, to revive, all right? So like a couple examples with the woman who was subject to bleeding, she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That word for healed is the same one it's using for saved here, okay? Or when Jesus healed the blind man and he said, your faith has healed you. It's the same word, all right? So we don't know exactly where James is going with this. He gives a little context in there, but for the sake of today, what I want to do is, I'm not going to chase that rabbit trail. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is going to be applicable to you? Because some of this will come down to the nature of salvation. Some of this will come down to the place that he's really working on your heart. Some of it is going to come to a lot of different places, and you'll feel it in a lot of good things. And my hope is that it's encouraging and that I can send you with expectation today. So it can mean a lot of different things. One context that's important to point out too, who is James writing to? The believers in Jerusalem, okay? People who already believe. That's what it says in the very first verse of the book of James. I'm writing to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. All right, so they already believe. So it's not a question so much of salvation in that piece. But what I want to propose about this conversation is that the main point of this scripture is not actually about like contrasting faith and deeds. All right, I'm going to explain that in a sec because it has a very different approach, and he makes it really clear. But to clear it up right away, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right, so it's by grace that you're saved, not by any works, so that no man or woman could go and be like, oh, look how spiritual of a life I lived. I earned the salvation of God. No, he made it available to everyone who would believe, all right? Because all you have to do is have faith, and then the grace of God will come on that. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, that you need a savior, that he will redeem and restore, and that you have a guarantee in heaven because he rose from the dead, all right? That's what it's about. That's what's required to see that grace come to your life. Now, what happens as a result of that grace coming to your life is what? That you start doing the things that he set you free for. All right? That purpose, that plan, that it says those good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, he put his thought into it before you were a thought. Simply put, right? And the thing is that it says you are his handiwork. Another translation says masterpiece. It's like saying, hey, I created this thing. Sorry to call you a thing. Created this thing. And you know what? I'm so proud of it. And I can't wait to see what this person does in their lives. I have a purpose. I have a plan. All right? But that spurs out of the grace given to us. In fact, we can do nothing apart from him, all right? John chapter 15 says, abide in him. He is the vine. Like, we, apart from the vine, we can't do anything, all right? So this is really important to grasp. It's like, it's not, we don't work for our salvation. It's by faith. That's how we receive that grace. So in James, when he's talking about like faith and works, it's not a contrast of like, here's faith and here's works, and this is how we know which is the better route or what the right balance is. I want to propose that actually what he's talking about is the difference between living faith and dead faith. Okay? It's about living faith and dead faith. He said in here, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Everything he's talking about here has to do with the substance of your faith. All right? What's behind it? He gives an example. He's like, okay, say you see someone in need who needs food, who needs shelter or whatnot, and you're like, hey, go, I hope that everything goes well with you, but you don't do anything. He's saying, okay, you may have a conviction of compassion, but what kind of substance does that conviction have? Is there something to it? Because if there's something to it, just like the grace given to us, it will compel you to do something. It will move you to do something. And there'll be times of discipline too where you're like, I know this is right. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it, right? But even that had to start somewhere, okay? So he's talking about the substance of conviction, a living faith versus a dead faith. So when he says, can such faith save you? What he's saying is, does your faith have the substance to see you made whole, to see you saved, to see you in all of that? Is like, have you given in hook, line, and sinker to the work that he wants to do in your life? All right? Hook, line, and sinker in every piece. And it's in general, when you look at it, it's easy to see the places where like the Lord is totally doing that stuff. Like you're seeing healing in your life, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. You're seeing growth in your spirit. You're seeing awesome things happen. And in other places, you know, the places where it's really obvious are the places where we struggle to trust him, right? Because our works don't like back that up so much. And this isn't to say like, hey, go and add a bunch of works to what you believe. All right? No, it's saying give yourself over to these convictions. Let your conviction have substance. The Lord is going to guide you in what to do with that. All right? But it's living faith that will change and transform. All right? It says, I mean, we serve a living God who brought us a living hope. This is from Scripture, all right? It's alive and moving. If there were two men here, one was dead and one was alive, and I said the same thing to both of them, what would you expect would actually do something? The living one, right? Here's the thing. There's a lot of things that we profess to believe. And I want to tell you, if you say you believe it, I believe you. There's no reason for me to not believe you. The substance that's behind your belief is between you and the Lord. But sometimes the expectation that we have, like, Lord, why aren't you doing some of these things I've read about in Scripture. Why are you not healing this? Why are you not doing this, all right? Not that we get to set that kind of expectation on exactly what he does. I'm going to talk about that in a sec. But sometimes it's just a nature of, have I given myself over to this really? Like, yeah, I believe that compassion is the right thing. I believe that Jesus, his mercy is present and enough for everything. that every day it's new and it's fresh. It's when you wake up in the morning and you choose to live it every day and to practically apply it, that you start to see the transformation happen in your life, right? And here's why. It's not because you're making this happen. It's because you've just reached out to accept the gift every single day, all right? Grace is the gift of God for your life. The gift of God for your life. And the substance of your conviction to believe it, how much oomph is behind what you believe, is going to determine a lot. So James is talking about the difference between dead faith and living faith. So, can such faith save you? If that word is used in a bunch of different means, like can such faith make you whole? Can such faith heal you? What do you think of your faith? All right, ask the Lord. Like, where's my faith at in this? Is it transforming me? Is it moving me? Is it healing me? And here's the thing. This is not a negative message, all right? I want you to think about the places that it is and the places where you don't see it, okay? Because just like the nature of confession is not about just like telling all of our sins and only the bad parts. It's also saying the Lord God is my healer. He's my sustainer. He does everything. And he will follow through because he loves me. All right? That's the nature of confession. The same is true here. What I'm asking you, like, take a little inventory, all right? There's scripture that supports that, and I'll get into it. But see where it's been. Because everyone in here has conviction. For anybody in here who would say that, like, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and all that. Yeah, I believe you. But have you ever seen those situations where there's, like, two people, and maybe they give their life to Christ the same day, but how they give themselves over to him after that is completely different. And do you watch how the paths of their life go? Sometimes we're on this side, sometimes we're on that side, right? Sometimes it's like, oh man, in like this short amount of time, so much changed and transformed and humility settled in. And then sometimes it's like, it took 40 years for that lesson. I'm not 40 years old, so I've got to say that it's not fair. So let me put it my way, like 25 years or whatever, right? I skipped my Sabbath this last week. There's a great example, all right? Let's use something for some dirt. But living faith is moving, breathing, doing things. Living, breathing, moving, doing things, okay? And it's happening all around you. It's happening all around you at any given moment, and it's happening in you. And the thing is that it wasn't a requirement to God that he had to let you know that it was happening in you, all right? So there's a question that comes up today. Do I believe that there are ordained things happening in my life right now that I've hoped for, that I've prayed for, that I've like let go of so many things for? And am I okay if it looks like conviction? And am I okay if it doesn't look like conviction? Do I just believe that this is happening? He is so present, all right? The word says that where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. He's here. No reason to think otherwise. So what's he doing? What's he doing? Living faith versus dead faith. It's about the substance of your faith. You know, for people who don't believe, non-believers, people who have a living faith, they stick out, right? When people, like you, they're the people we say all the stories about, okay? Because they go and they do these things. They take these huge steps of faith. They quit their jobs and lift off of support to go do all of these things for the Lord just because their conviction, the substance of their conviction is so strong, right? That's the difference too. Just in this week, like, you know, some people made decisions to take risks in their faith. Some people didn't. But a lot of that had to do with the substance of your conviction. Okay? Had to do with the substance of our conviction. And sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes it's not. But people who have a living faith, man, they stick out. You can see what the Lord's doing any day in their lives. And so non-believers, they pick up on this, right? Non-believers also pick up on dead faith, where people claim to believe certain things but practice differently. And here's the thing, it's not because they don't actually believe it a lot of times. It's just because the substance isn't there. Okay, that's what dead faith is, right? Again, his example is like to show compassion to someone who's in need. Like, yes, like who disagrees with compassion? But the substance to do it is another step on that. And depending on where your heart's at, man, just ask the Holy Spirit, fill me, give me compassion. Give me those pieces. Like, I bet some of these are coming to mind right now, okay? Ask him specifically about that. You don't need to listen to my words if you can have a conversation with him. Ask him, okay? See what he says about it. On the last message I shared about favoritism, I watched, within like 26 hours, I watched three people stand up in boldness and restore relational things and confess like, hey, I held this against you, or I was discouraged by this that you did to me. All that stuff. I watched that happen in three different places. People took steps of faith because they saw how real this was. And they were moved out of the substance of their conviction to do something, to come up and say something. That's good faith. Man, that's meaty faith, right? To take a word and just go with it. James chapter 2, verse 24 says, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless or is dead? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Why? Because it just shows the substance of what they believe, how much they've turned themselves over to it. Okay, again, I hope that no one in here is receiving this, like, you got to work harder at your faith, okay? That's not where I'm going. I'm saying, like, give yourself over to the love and the grace that he has for you more and more. Surrender more and more. That's really, when it comes down to it, to be a disciple is really this discipline of surrendering to him more and more. Lord, take this in my life. Take that in my life. Like, this was off limits before, but you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith and give it to you, right? That's what faith is, moment by moment, to let go to him. And when you let go, I mean, it's just like, it's really just allowing him to love you and give you the favor that sometimes we've resisted for so long. And not even because we wanted to, just because we were scared. We didn't know what to do. But that's all he wants. He's a good father. He knows how to give good gifts. So we can't really separate our actions from what we believe. Why? Because they complete it. They complete it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Okay. Again, not from a place of condemnation, but like soberly. Let's look at the places of our life. Okay. Where is there substance in the convictions we have? All right. Where is there substance in what we've chosen to believe? And in that, ask the Lord, increase. Increase. I know it's what you want. You want these things for me because it's what's best for me. You know, the Lord's working on, like, I heard somebody put it this way. I really appreciated it this week. The Lord is constantly working on two things in our faith. Teaching us the faith for deliverance, like when he shows up on the spot and doing something. So to have faith for things like that, and to have faith for sustainability, to sustain our lives, to have faith in him that he will sustain everything in our life, our finances, our emotional health, our relationships. You know, heaven is kind of a sustainable thing. Deliverance and sustainability, all right? He might be working on both at the same time. But he's always wanting to increase that. Why? Because it's everything that you could ask for and need and want and more. It's the things you pray for, even if you're not thinking of it that directly. It's the things you pray for every time you sit down to pray. it will always come back to that. If you chase that rabbit trail far enough, it will always come back to something you're looking for that you can find in him. That's why letting go is such a good thing here. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So like, how do you, like in the places where we feel conviction about this, like, because it may be that in some places in your life, you're like, you're really passionate about some things, like mercy, for example. You receive the Lord's mercy very well, and you give it very well. And then in other places, maybe it's harder to trust him in some other places in life, because you've been hurt or this or that, right? And so that's going to require a step of faith, all right? So to step into that, like, what do you do with some of those situations? How do you, how do you get substance in your faith? Like, it's a living faith, right? You let go. He is living and active and moving. So how do you let go for that? And it's out of James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So what does humbly mean? Humbly says, ask for help. Okay? Ask for help. Be willing to acknowledge where you need help, where you need a savior, where this needs to increase, okay, in certain places. And honestly, it just needs to increase for the sake of you and others around you and your relationship with God, okay? Not because there's something wrong with you, not because you're not doing good enough. Again, the message of grace is that no one could say, look how I did better than everybody else. It's a gift given equally to everyone who would receive it. Humbly accept the word planted in you. Accept. What does it mean to accept something? To receive it, all right? And this is such a big, big piece. Like, let's say that, let's say somebody gave you $100. You accept that $100. Like, just think to yourselves right now, like, what would you go buy with $100? Yeah, for some of you, it's going to go really fast. And for some of you, you're like, I could do a lot with $100. And you start thinking about it. Okay, think about the word of God like this for just a moment, okay? Let's say the Lord gives you a word. Okay, you might think of one thing to do with that word, and that's great. Others will think of 100 things to do with that word. Okay, and say, Lord, expand my thinking. I want to give totally to that word that you've planted in my life. I want to give totally to the salvation that you've given to me. Like, I want to watch it flow through my voice. I want to watch it flow through my hands. I want to watch you do all the work that you do through my being. And let possibility come from there. Okay? That's what it means to accept it. Like, to accept it with real substance of conviction. But you know what's required on top of that? Is this this word called expectation. Okay? Expectation. Now, in like emotional health and relational health, this is like a four-letter word. But can you build trust without expectation of some sort? No. Where we get in trouble is where we try to define what the expectation is, okay? When we try to define what should happen, all right? So when we trust God, when we're asking God for something, where we get discouraged, where we have a hard time is when we're like, God, I've been trusting you for this and it didn't look like what I thought it would be. Then you get discouraged, then you get frustrated and all that. What I'm talking about when I say expectation is to believe that God is moving right now, in everyone around you, and in every fashion, and even just by praying that he hears you and something is happening, okay? Let's use the living and dead example. How many times have you felt like when you prayed for something, it was like a living prayer, and then other times it felt like a dead prayer, okay? You see this, like, let's build on this, all right? Expectation is so important. Expectation really is a place of faith. All right, it's to say, I don't get to define what's going to happen here, but God is moving, and I'm expectant of it. All right, I'm going to share a story. Charles Spurgeon, for those of you who don't know the name, he was a pastor, a very like kind of well-known pastor of times past, but he had a student that he was teaching to share the gospel. And he trained this this young man to share the gospel, and he went out for like 3 or 4 months. And he shared, and he shared, and he shared, and not a single person came to Christ. And so he comes back to Spurgeon, and he's discouraged. He's like, man, I have been sharing for like 3 to 4 months, not a single person has come to Christ. Like, what is the issue? Why am I having such a hard time with this? Like, is this me? What's going on? And Spurgeon says to him, well, do you expect that every person that you talk to is going to have some kind of move of God in their life? He's like, well, no, of course I don't. And he's like, well, that's your problem. That's your problem. Again, not that you get to decide who's going to get saved or expect that everything is going to happen, but what happened when that guy was sharing the gospel with so many people? Were seeds getting planted? Was God moving in people? Okay? Have expectation. You know, David said this in Psalm 5:3. He says, I lay my requests before you in the morning and I wait eagerly in expectation. Okay? Not because he gets to decide what's going to happen in his day. And you can see that. You go through Psalms, you'll see where he's like, yeah, it didn't work out like I thought, but Lord, I love you. You're moving in my life all the time. All right? He waits eagerly in expectation. Why? Because this is a two-way conversation. This is a two-way relationship. He's not just throwing out a bunch of prayers and expecting nothing to happen. Expectation is huge. You never know what's going on. I'm going to share a couple of stories from Nate Herbst. He's been a great encouragement in my life, so I'll brag on him. But he's an evangelist, and he went down when he was here. He's lived in Albuquerque for like 4 or 5 years now, I think. But he would go down on Main Street, and he would go when the shops were like, they would just open up, but downtown wasn't really busy. And he would go so that he could minister to the shop owners and to the people working there and all that kind of stuff. Well, he goes to this one shop with, you know, they always minister in two, or not always, but that's how they like to do it. And they go to this one shop, and they're sharing the gospel with this shop owner. Now, they didn't know this till after they had shared, but this man had never, he thought all religion was bunk, like no matter what you believed, like just a bunch of hoaxes created by men and all that. And so these things happened in his life where he's like, you know what? I don't know what to do with this. So I'm going to put this out there. God, if you are real, I want you to have somebody come to my shop and tell me what this means and what's happening. Okay? You think Nate knew that before he went there? So he's sharing the gospel, and like this guy already knows, as Nate tells it, this guy already knows what's going to happen, right? Because he's like, I put this out 2 months ago, and I said this would be the sign. So he gave his life to Christ that day. Okay? Is God moving in and around you? He doesn't have to tell you that he talked to that guy to encourage you to have expectation about it. All right? And you never know where he's going to show up to do something. Here's another story. This one I like even better. So he's doing some ministry up on the campus, and because they were like 15 years doing ministry on the campus, and he's sharing the gospel with a bunch of the students there. And there was this one young atheist gentleman who would come to him every day and would talk to him about this or that. You know, I don't know the fullness of the conversations, but they made this habit where they every day he would come down and Nate would start turning the pages of the Bible, and this guy would tell him where to stop. And then, so he'd stop at that page, and then Nate would just look over it and see what the Spirit was leading of what to share out of that scripture. And so one day they get to Ephesians 2, the exact verse I just read a minute ago. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, right? And so he takes, in a very short amount of time, he explains it to this atheist gentleman, all right? And he doesn't really take anything from it. Okay, but Nate's like, okay, no worries. And the next day, he's in the student union building, all right? And he goes to the bathroom, and he's standing at the urinal. And this guy walks up and opens up this conversation with him. Now, if you know somebody, that's better. But a stranger that comes up and starts talking to you at the urinal, it's a little weird, okay? So he starts talking to him, and he says, you know, yesterday, you don't know me, but yesterday, I was walking by you talking to some gentleman about this thing with grace, and it's not by works and by faith. And I've gone to church my whole life, or for a number of years, and that never really clicked. I'm like, why do people give into this so much? And yesterday, just as I walked by and I heard it, it clicked, and I gave my life to Christ last night. Okay? And Nate's like, great, you know? You never know what's happening. I shared that story with Brent earlier in the week, and Brent made this point, this really awesome point. Do you know all the things that had to happen for him to walk by at exactly that kind of time? I mean, we're talking the difference of like red and green stoplights, okay? Do you see the intention of God moving around you? Okay, that's living faith. He is moving, he is breathing, he is doing these things. So is it good for you to have expectation that he's doing that? Yes, living faith versus dead faith, okay? He is doing something all around you. He is doing something in you. Many of the things that have happened in your life, you don't know the significance of yet because the revelation hasn't come, okay? But it will someday. More and more. It's right to believe for these things, okay? Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Why? Because you can expect good things from it. You can expect wonderful things from it, miraculous things from it. Can such faith save you? Can it heal you? Can it make you whole? Can it do all these things? Yes, it can. Do you have expectation for it? Then let it be. Invite the worship team to come up, please. The thing about living faith is it's always moving. Everything that's even happened today, you and I have no concept of all the things that took place for our hearts to get moved today. But probably even as I shared this message, some of you had some things fire off and be like, wow, there are some things happening in my life, and this speaks to that. Some of you probably have some conviction about how you're living your faith and the substance behind it. Again, if there's any feeling of condemnation, gone, okay, break that. In fact, if you're struggling with that, we're going to have some people come up to pray as soon as you start worship and have them break it with you, because that's not the heart of this message. Okay, do you hear that? It's about, gosh, he is a living God. He is active and moving, so the things that he does in our lives should be very much the same, because it would be out of integrity for him if they weren't. He's doing it. You can expect great things. There's so many things happening around you. And just be like, Lord, open my eyes to this. What is happening? What can I be a part of? You created me for good works. I am your masterpiece. Amen. I am your handiwork. Amen. Let me see. And do all these things in my heart. Do the things in my heart that would set me free, that you've had on your mind for a long, long time. Let me see him. Show me what to do. I accept it. I accept what you have for me. To those who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Boom. Good word. I have the story I'll finish with is that you never know. I'm going to brag on my wife for just a second. And it's not about a Mother's Day thing. But like, so this week we went to this award ceremony. And it was the award ceremony that the Chamber of Commerce puts on every year, where they do like Citizen of the Year, Business of the Year, and all that stuff. And so we were just told to be there. And I thought something had to be up because it included me, and I'm usually not at her events, right? Because they're about empowering women, all right? They're about empowering women. So anyways, she ends up winning like the 2021 Outstanding Contribution to the Community Award for Durango, all right? Okay, now here's why I bring this up, not just to brag on my wife and score some brownie points, all right? Here's why I bring this up, because the name of her organization is Power to Act. Do you guys know where that comes from? Many of you are like right off the bat, you're clicking with this. There's a proverb that says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Okay? So she took this thing. In fact, when she was up at the podium, she said, don't underestimate those small, insignificant things. She took this word, she humbly accepted this word, and she started doing something with it. And look what living faith did. And so many of you have been that piece of it. Like, she's like, it feels weird for you to talk about it. I know I'm bragging on her, but it's a family of people that made this happen, right? That are doing this work, all right? Humbly accept the word that's planted in you. Even if it's just that one verse, and go with it and give substance to that conviction and see what happens. Because look, now even the non-believers see what's happening. Okay? And they're people just like us. I hate to even make it sound like it's so separate. Hear that for your life. Whatever it is that the Lord's speaking to you. When you read this week, read something. Like, there's a lot to say about going deeper in your studies, and I totally support that. But you know what? This week, just out of the context of this message, take what you hear, what you read, what you see, and just apply it at the next step. And watch Him, living, moving, breathing God, do those things. He will. Can you have expectation for it? Yes. Yes. And if that's what you need to wrestle with Him on, guys, come up for prayer. All right, this is where we support each other, okay? It's where we support each other. I'd love to pray for somebody to have greater expectation in their lives. The Lord saw that I needed it, so that's why He shared these words with me. Really? Father, I ask, raise the expectation of Your goodness. That's really just the conviction of Your goodness, the substance of Your goodness. Let it be plain as day to all the people in this room. Give them courage to believe it, conviction that is living and active, just as Your word is, just as Your spirit is, in every way You set it up. We love You and submit to You. In Jesus' name, amen.